In Iowa, it's an economic boom to be the first political event of the year.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. Happy New Year. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Today, all the months of shaking hands and kissing babies and buying television ads in Iowa plays out before the rest of the country. Voters in the Hawkeye State are caucusing with their neighbors, picking their favorite candidates, and the process means a lot to the Iowa economy. Donna Hoffman heads up the political science department at the University of Northern Iowa, and she's with us right now. Good morning, Donna.
Good morning.
These caucuses are big business in Iowa.
They are. It's, you know, pretty exciting to be in the state. We get, of course, candidates that come in. They spend money. We get the national media, the international media that come in. They spend money. We also get, I don't know, you might call them political tourists or people who come in from other states to help their candidates, to walk neighborhoods, to man phone banks. And all of those people spend money in the state. The biggest thing, though, that you see is, of course, the ad revenue probably that television stations get because the airwaves are inundated with ads right now.
I know these caucus meetings, Donna, are like some kind of, I don't know, potluck dinner or a book club, right? I mean, give us the financials. I mean, how much does it cost for someone to put something like this on?
Well, these are party events, and so the parties bear the cost of this. But, you know, caucuses are a throwback to really old-school politics where you meet with your neighbors and you caucus. You talk with them. You talk about the candidates. You decide what kind of, you know, who you want to elect to the next level of convention for delegates. These are really very local affairs because they're precinct meetings, and precincts are the smallest level of political organization.
And you say they're trying to – these folks are trying to convince others – to switch their votes to a certain candidate. I mean, are there business or negotiating tactics that play a big role in that?
Well, it depends on the party, actually. In Democratic caucuses, that very much is the case. Republicans, however, do it differently. There is a secret ballot typically taken then at the Republican caucuses, and then they go on with their business, because caucuses are about the party governing itself, and you have platform issues to take care of. You have delegates to select to the next level of convention, which in this case is the county, which will be held in March.
Donna Hoffman from the University of Northern Iowa. Donna, thanks.
You're very welcome.
Let's do the numbers. The European markets are mostly higher at the moment. British oil giant BP filed court papers demanding Halliburton pay billions in cleanup costs for the disastrous oil spill from a couple of years back. Greece today said it would have to leave the European Union if it can't finalize a deal for the latest bailout funds. Markets in Hong Kong and Seoul had gains of more than 2% today. That's despite some gloomy news from Singapore that its economy shrank last quarter. Markets here at home were closed for the New Year holiday yesterday. The Dow ended the week at 12,217.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation.com, monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the Internet. Reputation.com.
The people who put their money in riskier bonds are hoping 2012 is a better year for their returns. Bank of America Merrill Lynch says it's the first time in 3 years lower-graded bonds didn't do as well as safer investments. Well, bonds, of course, take many forms. Countries sell them to pay their debts, if they can. See Greece. Companies offer them up, too. And Marketplace Whiteboard Chief Patty Hirsch takes us on a little field trip to explain how different bonds with different ratings work.
This is a used auto parts center.
Used part? No, Patty, this is a junkyard.
Oh, really?
Yeah. See that rusted old jalopy over there? That is junk.
It's all in the eye of the beholder, Steve. You see junk, I see a valuable store of parts for my 2001 Saturn LS1.
Really? You take parts from some wreck that's been towed here and put those parts in your car? Don't you think that's a bit risky, Patty?
Well, I'd be getting them at a discount to what I pay on eBay, and they'd be way cheaper than if I got them from a GM dealer. That is for sure.
Okay, fair enough. It's your funeral. But what has this got to do with bonds?
Well, bonds are just like car parts.
They are?
Well, sure. If you buy parts that are brand spanking new from the manufacturer, it's still all greased up and ready to go, they're pretty low risk, right?
Right.
You'd be happy to put them in your car.
Sure.
Well, bonds are the same. Some bonds are super safe. They're sold by companies that are profitable, that look very likely to make their interest payments and pay their lenders their money back.
I'd be happy to put those bonds in my portfolio.
Right. So, but some bonds are not so safe, right? They're sold by riskier companies, like companies that may have borrowed a lot of money or maybe operate in uncertain industries. Companies like these may not be able to make their debt payments. They may not even be able to pay you back. Those bonds are like the car parts you buy from a place like this.
A lot riskier.
Sure, but potentially a lot more profitable in the long run. See, those low-risk bonds that you like so much, they also come with a low reward. Ratings agencies call them investment-grade bonds, and the interest rates they pay are pretty small.
All right, low risk, low reward. That makes sense.
All right, but these high-risk bonds, right, they come with much bigger interest rates to compensate for the danger. Rating agencies call them non-investment-grade or high-yield bonds.
And some people call them junk bonds.
Yeah, some people call them junk bonds, because I guess like a secondhand car part in a car, they can turn out to be junk, and you can end up wasting your money. But if the bond turns out to be a good investment, then because of that high yield, you can make a ton of money. In the same way, if I can find a working transmission for my Saturn for $20 here, as opposed to paying $700 for a new tranny at the GM dealership, then I make out like a bandit.
So junk bond, well, sorry, high yield bonds are riskier. They can turn out to be trash, right?
Right, but they hold high yield for a reason, because they can turn out to be treasure. One man's junkyard is another man's jewel box, Steve. Yeah,
thanks for that, Patty. Patty Hirsch is Marketplace's senior producer for personal finance. His whiteboard explainers are online at marketplace.org. Finally this morning, a North Carolina man was arrested last week after trying to buy a vacuum cleaner, microwave, and other items with counterfeit money at a Walmart store. He offered the cashier $1 million bill. Problem? Well, besides the issue of getting change, more than $999,000 in change, the U.S. Treasury has never produced a bill. But just because a bill doesn't exist doesn't mean people stop trying to pass it along. In 2004, a woman at a Walmart in Georgia tried to use a $1 million note. A few years earlier in Kentucky, a Dairy Queen cashier accepted a $200 bill from a customer ordering an ice cream sundae. The bill had a picture of George W. Bush on it, the sitting president at the time. The cashier gave $198 back in change. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
They spend millions on their campaigns, but believe it or not, GOP presidential hopefuls are getting a real bargain this time around.
We'll have these outside groups promoting specific candidates, and that really becomes an extension of the candidate's campaign.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Why campaigns are flush with cash. For now, that's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.